Although Lachlan has a dream job, it's probably one of the top 10 jobs for theatre directors in the United Kingdom. She runs the Travis in Edinburgh. It must be like two different jobs, because 49 weeks of the year she runs a fairly normal new writing theatre. 3 weeks of the year she runs the hub of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. All are welcome.
Thank you very much.
You should be looking happy today, because we've just discovered that Travis has won 4 Fringe firsts in week one, which is a real feather in your cap, including one for Kira that you directed yourself. So
indeed,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
What does the Edinburgh Fringe mean to you?
It's the pinnacle of our year. It's the moment that we feel intensely under the spotlight. And we have the great privilege of having the theatre industry, not only of Scotland, of the United Kingdom, but of the world, come to our door. So it puts us under a huge amount of pressure, but it's also such an enormous opportunity for us to showcase our work, and work that we believe in and feel is important has a showcase. And in this case, this year being a British Council year, that's an international showcase that we can provide. So we take our job as presenters very seriously, alongside our job as producers of our own work. And this year we're producing 5 of our own shows, which I think might be unprecedented, even for the Travis in its 50 years, that alongside looking after all these visiting companies and events and talks, we're putting on our own work. So that's where you find me today, rehearsing the next one up that opens next week.
Indeed, and it sounds amusing to me, so I'm hoping I hope it's meant to be amusing.
No, definitely. I think yeah, if you don't find this one funny, I think we're in trouble.
Do you want to tell us what it is?
Sure. Today we are rehearsing a play called A Respectable Widow Takes to Vulgarity. It's a short play by Douglas Maxwell, which I commissioned last festival. And it was performed last festival, script in hand, having had 6 or 7 hours rehearsal. And it received such an enormous response in that very quick one-off 9 a.m. performance that we then programmed it as part of our play Pioneer Pint Season in collaboration with Oren Moore. It was nominated for a Cats Award for Best New Play. And we couldn't resist bringing it back for our festival audience, because, as you say, it's a real... it's a real rib tickler, but actually it has something very serious to say about grief and grieving and the role that language can play in that. So it's lovely to dive back into it, especially having the original cast.
And also Sabrina Mahfouz.
Yes.
Did an early play last year.
Exactly.
Is that the same one? Is it the one?
Although she's decided to do quite a significant rewrite, whereas Douglas hasn't touched a word of his original play, really, from last year. Mm. Sabrina has gone back and really reworked her piece. And again, it received an amazing response last year.
I certainly loved it. It was a wonderful piece, yes.
As part of the Dream Plays, we brought it to Oren Moore. Again, fantastic reviews and response. So again, we felt, let's bring it back as a fully fledged, albeit lo-fi production. Because again, she has something very important to say, and she says it in a very distinctive and beautiful way. So yes, very contrasting pieces for 9 a.m. in the morning, but ones that we're really delighted to bring back.
When do you start? Is this your first year of fully programming?
No,
the Fringe?
I did program last year's. It was one of the first things I did. I arrived here in January, and our deadline for finishing programming the festival is somewhere sort of February, March, so I was right into it. But what I've had with this year is much more time to engage with the work coming in, travelling more, meeting the companies, and seeing more work. So I've had more of an opportunity to immerse myself in the curation of the programme.
And are you pleased with the results?
I'm very pleased with the results. I'm quite overwhelmed with the results, I have to say, that the work has been received so well. Yeah, and as today's announcement about the 4 Fringe firsts, the amount of press coverage, positive press coverage, it's a fantastic feeling, you know, to be here this year, especially in our 50th year.
Yes.
When I felt we really did have to step up to the mark and ensure we were seen as relevant and challenging and provocative as ever. and hopefully, you know, setting ourselves in good stool for the next 50 years. That's really what I want to focus on, the next 50 years.
Is it difficult taking over a theatre like the Two of Us that has got such a tradition?
Absolutely. When I was offered the job, I actually felt quite frightened because, as we all know, it's kind of a legendary place. I've travelled as far afield as Montreal and walked into theatre buildings where they've told me they've modelled their foyer and bar on the traverse. And I think because I wasn't particularly that well known, I hadn't worked that much in Scotland. I didn't have a previous relationship with the traverse other than as a visitor. I felt I had quite a lot to prove and quite a lot to maintain, as I've said, you know, in terms of the reputation and quality that people expect at the Traverse, especially at this time of year. So yeah, it was with some trepidation, but then I like a challenge. So I thought, I can't not take this opportunity. Mm. It's just too much of a thrill. And having been here now for 18 months, I have to say, I agree with you. I think I've got one of the best jobs, if not the best job, in theatre in the UK. It's a rare privilege, really, to be able to programme a new writing venue year-round and produce our own work, as well as, you know, oversee this amazing 3 weeks in August where we become the centre, really, of the festival, the Fringe Festival, particularly for new writing and serious drama. And then also this kind of international dimension that's always been there, where our work is travelling all over the world and overseeing that. So it's juggling. We juggle many plates.
Does it help you that Scottish playwriting is so strong at the moment?
Well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I think we have the best writers in the world. I really do. So, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches. And I think we're really living in a golden age for Scottish playwriting. And I think that about our more established writers, as well as the new breed coming through. I think there's a really exciting counterpoint between, as I say, the more established writers who are tackling, you know, these big political, global issues, and then the new writers who are doing exactly the same thing but in quite a different way.
I think a lot of listeners will probably be familiar with names like David Gregg and David Harrow.
Yeah.
Who are the newer writers that...
I would say people like Rob Drummond, Kieran Hurley, Steph Smith, being able to get people like Sabrina Mahfouz in and on our stage. And I guess in terms of the more established writers, people like Zinnie Harris, Peter Arnett, they're still very much part of the stable and part of the fold. And so, although I talk about the next 50 years, that's not only about committing to the new wave of Scottish talent. It's about, you know, making sure we keep a firm arm around and support our more established writers. And I think it's really interesting the dialogue that newer work, a newer voice, newer perspective can have with our more established writers.
Coming to the Traverse must have been a big change because you were at Pentabus before, which is a very different kind of theatre company.
Yeah, very different.
Did you always feel that running a building was something that you could just take in your stride? Because
I don't know if I would have assumed I could take it in my stride, but my training was in quite large theatre organisations. I trained at the National Theatre down in London. I was an assistant director at the Donmar Warehouse for just over a year, and then I became an associate at the Royal Court down in London. So I kind of grew up and learnt my craft in quite well-established organisations, buildings, and I love them. I love having a home and having a team. And that role of host, I think, is quite important to me, as well as sort of taking on artistic responsibility. And then going off to Pentabus to the wilds of the Welsh borders, making work in pubs or caves or shopping centres or in fields was just a very different experience and something I thought I should do to get out of the buildings and just explore what else there was to offer, especially in rural communities just outside of the London bubble that I was very well kind of immersed in. But no, I always wanted to come back to a building, and I love being building based.
And there's a whole wave of new young female directors coming around. So Vicky Featherston was National Theatre of Scotland, is now at the World Court.
Yeah.
Josie Rourke's taken over the Donmar, Inda Rubisingham at the Tricycle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many more. Those come to mind immediately with you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason for that trend suddenly happening? Because before that, there had been Jenny Topper at Hampstead and probably one or two others, but it was really rare to have a female artistic director of a theatre.
Well, I'm not the first at the Traverse. 25 years ago, Jenny Killick was at the helm as a very young woman in her early 20s. So, and she was a fantastic artistic director and someone who's still spoken very highly of. And I'm delighted to say she came back this year and I met her. I don't know what is to account for the new wave that women are now taking more high-profile jobs. I wonder if it's because I'm part of the first generation where I kind of didn't question that I could do that if I wanted to. I certainly haven't felt that anything has held me back that I've been aware of. I've worked hard and I've identified where I've wanted to be. I'm ambitious. And I wonder if that's part of it, that I'm lucky enough to be part of a generation where, certainly in this industry, and I know it's not the same for everybody and there are, you know, lots of different stories and experiences, as there are in any field, as you kind of climb the echelons of it. But no, it's hard. It's hard because I can only speak to my experience, which has been overwhelmingly positive.
And what have you got planned for the Traverse of the future? Do you want to just kind of continue as things are, producing lots of Scottish plays, some other stuff, and having that 3-week binge every year? Do you want to try and change things at all?
I think one of the things we're really interested in pursuing is finding another space, a third space during the festival, so that we can really engage with and present work by more emerging experimental artists.
That has been done in the fringe in sort of little rooms at the Traverse before now.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about on-site or elsewhere?
I think anything's possible at the moment. I'm quite interested in the idea of a pop-up venue that might move around the city, just taking our work up and out a little bit more. Because we're at such capacity with the spaces that we have already, I'm quite interested in finding something a little bit more mobile and mercurial that could maybe surprise people out and about. Because if you're not someone in the know about where the Traverse is, we can be quite hard to find. We're slightly off the beaten track away from kind of Bristow Square and that hub. And I wonder if we could maybe bring our work up and out a little bit more. And as I say, be able to use the festival as a time to engage with more emerging artists, because at the moment, Trav 1 or Trav 2 doesn't feel the right time and place for giving people their first break or trying out something that really is in its embryonic stages.
Is that because of the commercial imperative, or is that just the feeling that it's too much exposure for...
I think it's the expectation that if you come to the Traverse, you see something that is finished, well-formed, you know, rigorous, crafted, and ready. And so I'm interested, I mean, and there's absolutely, you know, a place for that, and people want to see that. But I suppose I'm more interested in the forest fringy summer hall, something a bit more live and dangerous, maybe. That we've started to explore in the breakfast plays last year, and on Mondays, which were traditionally our day off, more and more we're trying different things. So, for example, this year we're showcasing the work of students who've just graduated from Edinburgh University. But I guess it's getting the real new blood in, giving people their first break, trying something for the first time.
You've also welcomed Theatre Uncut, which I think to me has been an unmitigated success.
Yeah.
The quality of the writing is amazing. The performers on no kind of rehearsal time at all are great. And that is really refreshing.
Indeed.
Which again is probably something that Travers ought to be doing.
Yeah, and that's our Monday slot. So maybe what I'm saying is buoyed by the success of Theatre Uncut, that there is a place and appetite for work that's very much of the minute, that doesn't have a conventional rehearsal period, that's quite off the cuff, and the joy of that and the counterpoint of that with what's happening in the main house or Trav 2, I think is something to be celebrated. You know, that there are many paths to heaven during the festival, and so I want to accommodate as many of them as I can at the Traverse.
That all sounds wonderful. All good. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.